himself. He is not at all, it is not at all pleasant to be asked to a specially assembled company to be put on probation, to have one's every action and word weighed. But what those prejudiced, blinded people forgot was that the one invited to partake of their hospitality was the omniscient Lord, and as such had a distinct advantage over them. They could not read his thoughts, but he could read theirs. And in the parables of this chapter, he revealed the thoughts of their minds and the sinister significance of their actions. That memorable Sunday afternoon, he dominated the company. It did not dominate him. Permitting himself to become the prey of the passing hour, he did not lower his ideals nor abandon his principles in order to sit in well with the rest. Invited as a guest, he proved to be most unconventional, in that he became the outspoken critic of the bad manners of host and guest alike. After silencing his watchers on the matter of Sabbath day healing, he uttered the parable about a wedding and of the right and wrong ways of inviting people to sing. The word marked is an interesting one. The people watched Jesus, but he marked or watched how the bidden guests sought out the best position at the wedding. There was the struggle for precedence, prominence for oneself, rivalry for chief seats, thereby making secondary the proper purpose and pleasure of social intercourse. Now, I believe it was another class yesterday and the day before. Brother Jones here brought out the fact that he, I don't mind calling the name or the church. Our church at Hayward used to be, we've got two there now. But Brother Lawrence Crawford, and I knew Brother Crawford when he was in Arkansas, and he came from the Crawford family, and they were noted for preachers. But anyway, Brother Crawford had Brother Corbett Mass to hold a meeting. And the congregation would all get there and were seated and so on. They would walk down the aisle together, going up and nodding, speaking this, that, and the other. And brother, grand entrance. And what was it you said that you told your wife or somebody?
I told the wife, and I said, there's something wrong. I said, there's no revival here. There's no revival spirit here at all. It wasn't 6 weeks after that, they pulled out of these arguments.
Yeah. All right. I was invited up there one time after I came out here. And my purpose in going up there was to represent the school, so I thought. But lo and behold, I got up there. Why, I found out the biggest thing that he wanted me for was to do some work for him to show how great he was and all that he was doing, this, that, and the other. I had a little paper down here, and he want him a real good write-up and advertisement was the very thing that he wanted. He didn't care anything at all about hearing anything that was going on down here in the attempt of trying to build a school. Now, I say all of that to just say this, brethren, and this is one thing that I wish that all of you could have known been in Bogart. I know that there were people who hated him like he was a serpent, something like that. But that man, I mean, knew how to be honest. I mean, honest not only with money, but honest with congregations, honest with people, associations, wherever he was. And he hurt himself a lot of times by being that way, simply because he wasn't trying to sell himself. And he told us boys at that particular time, Brother Ben Jackson was a great scriptorian. He could go in the pulpit with his Bible in his hand, never open it, and quote the whole amount of scripture that he should have read, but he could quote it. Of course, that got everybody's eye. Oh, what a man. Look what he can do. Dr. Bogart told us, says, I don't care what. Says, you keep that book out in front. And you read from it if you are going to just quote. Able to do that. Says, you have that book open. Says, you're up there to give the word. To give the word. Now that goes right along right here, you see, with what's being told in this parable here. In his parable, in conjunction with what he had previously said about the Pharisees loving the uppermost seats in the synagogue, 11 and 43, our Lord made clear that self-emptying is the true secret of exaltation. Self-emptying is the true secret of exaltation. Office seekers were excluded. Those wanting the chief places were dismissed. Those not seeking were to have the places in the social line. In other words, not to let trying to push ourselves or anything for some personal reason, but always for the Lord. And so you'll find so many today in various areas of life, how they will push themselves. Somebody said, oh, well, if you don't look out for yourself, nobody else will. Well, you have to kind of watch that. Ellicott observes that our Lord's rebuke is hardly a parable in our modern sense of the term, but is so called as being something more than a precept, and as illustrated by a half-dramatic dialogue. Yet the Bible calls it a parable, and it must have proved itself a most effective one in that it revealed the difference between the acquisition of seats and their relegation. It would seem as if it were the common practice for guests to seat themselves. Hence the scramble for the best one. Turning to the guests of the wedding, Jesus, in exposing the false principles they acted on, said, "Lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him or of the host." Jesus was the most honorable man at that Sunday afternoon gathering, and doubtless took the lowest place in the room, thus illustrating by action the lesson of the parable. Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And also we can note in Philippians 2 and 9, "Let this mind be in you that was also in our Lord Jesus Christ." That word, the mind, there will carry the thought disposition. Who laid aside his glory, the appearance of deity, clothed himself in human flesh, became a servant, a man, and became obedient unto death. But what kind of death? Even the death of the cross. Now, let this disposition of mind be in you, with what Paul was writing the church at Philippi. Someone has said like this, brethren, don't seek the job. Let the job seek you. Don't seek the job. Now this is speaking particularly in the realm of like churches so on.
Another thing, I guess the parable Jesus said, more than instructed, that when you go to the feast, that don't take the chief seat, because then somebody more honorable than you will come along and tell them you invited both of you.
That's it exactly. In other words, be asked to do a job. Now, I thank the Lord for a lot of things, but among them is this. I have never felt up to the capability of fulfilling even some of the places that I've had in the ministry. But somebody said, "Oh, but you ought to think, oh, I can really do this job." Wait a minute, some human pride gets in there. And it'll make you less dependent upon the Lord. Let me give you this personal illustration. You may not probably wouldn't understand it. But when I go to step in the shower, I have to go in the shower with one crutch at least, and the other hand clutching the door. I have to watch and be as careful as I can, but my old knees are just as apt give down and to fall in that particular tight place and so on. It's pretty dangerous. I'm usually always conscious that when I start to step into the shower, Lord help me, take care of me. Now you say, babyish.
Oh, no, it's not. There's a need there.
Now, in everything of life in the service of the Lord is equal to that. And as long as a person feels inadequate of self to do the job, he's going to depend on the Lord. He's going to stay pretty close. He's going to get on his knees.
Have you ever thought how many times maybe we may not be thankful at all for the things that God intercedes for us across the life?
Yeah.
It's just small things. Just thinking of the Lord. You know, when I came in, Brother Hubbard was coming down through here with the gold low purple putting the clothes on.
Yeah, that's, there's the point.
I don't know, they went out that
direction. They had a brother in each driveway. Did whatever you did.
No, for
the white cat next door. The white one, the big white cat, got torn up. I'm your brother, husband, straight.
All right, now there you are, brethren. So many times, oh boy, I'm it. And somebody gets, well, let's just come right down. Boy, I got elected to preach at the association. Oh, boy. And then again, he come along, and you know what? I must be doing pretty good because I got elected moderator or president. You see what I'm talking about? All right, now, highest place is lying low at our Savior's feet. Underline that, brethren. Our highest place is lying low at our Savior's. Well, let me point out another thing. I've always conscious of, but I was especially conscious of it this last surgery I had. I've had the don't care shot, everything. I've been taken into the operating room. And a little troublesome to transfer me from the gurney over to the operating table. They had some kind of a gadget there. Roller, something they called it, that they put between and put me over. And the anesthesiologist began to prepare. I said, Lord, just to myself,
words, I knew what was coming. You never know when you're going under like that what kind of accident could happen. So on, and two, we knew also that the particular surgery was a little more of an exploratory type than was that and the other. They didn't know just exactly what they were going to try to do, this and the other. They had a general idea, but it's what they might run into. Well, just common things every day that are, we already remember this, that a lot of times, well, in this day and age, we better be praying without ceasing. Praying without ceasing. And I'm not a prophet, but I'm just having a pretty good guess, brethren, that this nation better be praying as it has prayed along. Now, coming back to ourselves here with this parable. Just seek a place of service. Lord, use me. It may be a very humble place. It may seem like you're wasting your time. And useless. This, that, and the other. Again, I was thinking this morning of the twin boys that I've told you many times. And a lot of people say, well, what do you fool around those old Chapman twins for? Well, I enjoyed their company. They liked me. We worked together some in the ministry. They wanted to play the piano. Good. Others can be the same. We work together. Well, Lord called them to preach. I'm kind of proud of it, but we've been in very lowly places. And they will forget the time that I rolled up to their house after I got out of school in 1942. I had bought an old worn out 34 Plymouth automobile. And of course I was gullible. I hadn't learned what big liars automobile salesmen were. And the tires, I knew, were pretty bald. Oh, here's where you can get some tires. Well, I went ahead and swallowed it, hook, line, and sinker. But I remember the first time I drove up Brother Chapman's house after I got my home. The little kid run around, look around the car, and said, boy, you sure don't have any tires, do you? They're all bald. Well, that's what it was. But lowly places. Yes, sir. Okay, I guess this finishes us up for this year, fellow. Well, I hope you keep on studying these as long as you live. Every area of Bible study, but don't forget these, because they were very, very, very important. And I'm grateful for the interest from each of you for the year.